This podcast replay is brought to you by Orvieto's Awards and More. For 35 years, providing everything from plaques to laser and UV printing. They do all their engraving and printing in-house for quality control. Call Charles at 305-949-8098 or visit them at orvietosawards.com. Orvieto's Awards and More, where recognition is rewarding.
It is time to go to my man, Jeremy Fowler. Let's do it. ESPN, talk a little Miami Dolphins draft, NFL draft overall, NFL nuggets, all kinds of stuff. Good morning, my brother. How are you doing?
What's up, Big O? Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, man. Thank you for taking the time. I know your ass is busy as hell, dude. So it's just crazy stuff. Hey, let me start on a side note. I've been following myself the Odell Beckham stuff, and there, I know there's nothing imminent, but my question is, what is Miami competing against? Because from what I'm hearing is there aren't a lot of big offers or anything on the table for him. So I don't think Miami is competing with a lot. What have you heard? That's the part I don't know. What's competing against Miami? Because there must not be a lot if he hasn't made a decision, because it seems to me like he and his agent are waiting for something to fall, some desperation to fall from the sky or something.
Well, that's typically the case. You know, when a player's waiting it out, he's just sort of sifting through whatever offers exist. And if something's going to come, that's bigger, you know, so the strategy is probably after the draft, let's see what shakes out. And if the offers get a little larger, I do know there are two other teams that are involved. So Miami's one of three teams. That's what I was told. I don't have the other teams handy, but I know there are three. So, you know, Miami's in a position where, like, they're trying to be fiscally responsible. They're trying not to overspend, but they do want them. So I think they're figuring that they'll, you know, that patience will pay off, but that does leave room for somebody else to sneak in and get them too. So, you know, it's not a situation like last year where he's going to get $15 million a year. Like, that just doesn't seem to be there. Based on the production of late. So, you know, we'll see. I still think Miami's the favorite, but, you know, they got to get it done.
Yeah, and the whole – I think after the draft, that might settle in.
Yeah.
Because then somebody doesn't get the speed receiver they're looking for, and then they say, well, then let's try Odell for a year. And so that might be kind of what he and his agent are waiting for, to see how everything shakes out. Because as you know this better than anybody else, you follow this all the time, the next wave of free agents starts after the draft, after they have not been able to fill, you know, certain needs. The guys that are left, they're going to fill those kind of holes that those teams need. So that's why, because I can't figure out who else is out there. I heard it's not much. I heard it's not like, a bunch of teams are lined up. And I also heard that it wasn't much, you know, the offers weren't much different than what Miami is offering. So I'm wondering what's that has to be. We're waiting for, you know, everything. And the Xavier Worthy thing, I don't believe for one second with the needs Miami has on the O-line and the D-line that Worthy is not even a consideration in the first round.
I'd be surprised. They love speed, so I wouldn't totally discount it. But I think they've been looking pretty hard at edge rusher. You know, teams I talked to believe Miami's been looking hard there. I don't think they would go with Latu, the UCLA pass rusher, because – you know, he's got a neck issue in the past, which most teams don't have a problem with, but Miami's situation is specific, right? Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, both hurt. You can't take another player with an injury history really at that spot. So, you know, they'll look around. There are four or five good ones, you know, probably four good ones that will go in the first round. After that, there's a drop-off. So if you need one, first round's the time to get it. So really it's, I mean, offensive tackle is really trendy right now. Teams I talk to, pretty zeroed in on that position. It could be seven offensive tackles taken in the first round, and Miami might be one of them.
Yeah, no, because there's actually some D tackles in the second round, and so they could actually fill their offensive tackle need, and actually they're lucky. And Jeremy, the way everything worked for them at 21, they love versatile linemen. There's like several guys that can play guard tackle. You know, there they could even take a center that can play guard there if they wanted to go with Jackson Power Johnson and then stay with Aaron Brewer at center for the first year and have Jackson play guard and kind of learn the system, learn the calls, all of that. Plus, they're both athletic. They both can get to the second level, which is extremely important in this outside zone, especially at center. So that's something that Jackson can watch Aaron do. And a lot of people don't like Aaron because he's undersized. But the thing is, in this offensive line, the big galoot is not going to be able to move the way they want him to move. That you got to be agile, blocks, and go get somebody at the next level. So they're really lucky where they're at 21, that the linemen that are there are super versatile.
Yeah, and you're going to see tackles, like true offensive tackles, go early. So if you want a combo guy, could be there available for you when you pick. You know, like Troy Fontanu with Washington might be a fit because that's a guy that you can start at tackle, but probably is the best guard in the draft.
Right.
If he ends up playing there, you know, the Oregon guard center could be an option. Like, the, you know, you certainly can work with what you need to at that spot, you know, where if you're picking 30, you might not be able to get those guys. So, I think they're in an advantageous spot. Yeah, this is a team that's had a lot of injuries up front of the O-line, kind of reestablishing their identity on defense. Like, they were interesting to me in the draft or in free agency because everybody's talking about the Cowboys and how they didn't spend. Well, the Dolphins scaled back and didn't spend a whole lot and moved on from a lot of players and said, we're going to take our medicine financially and sign some value players. Like, I thought their free agency was actually pretty good based on what they did.
Well, yeah.
You know, getting guys kind of on the cheap and or players that have already been released from other teams. So, like, they're in an interesting spot. So they don't have maybe the star power they had 3 months ago, but they've scaled back some spots and are now going to load up in the draft. I think they're going away from a little bit where they were a year ago or 2 years ago, acquiring stars and trades. And like now they're saying, okay, that's our window. We did that. Now we're going to pivot to more like, you know, players that are cut. We're going to sign them because that helps us in the comp pick formula. You know, let's fill some needs in the draft. Let's go responsible. Let's get Odell Beckham for however many million a year. That wouldn't be very much. Like, they're in an interesting spot. So I think they'll return more to like a traditional team building this year.
Well, let me give you the macro, because I don't live in the micro on this show, because the micro makes you panic about shit that really is not in the macro. What they did was, these next 2 years, this year, next year, they hit a shitload of picks.
Yeah.
They said, we're not signing this wave. We're going to sign Tua and the wave that's next.
Yeah.
Because he signs pass rushers, corners, tackles, quarterbacks, and number one wide receiver. That's what Greer signs and gives money to.
Yeah.
Plus, they give money to Holland, right? And then after next year, they go through the 2 years where they spent trading away picks for Jalen Ramsey, for Tyreek, and all that. And all they have are second-day picks. They don't really have a – so they'll go through 2 years where they won't have to have a whole bunch of guys that they have to sign. And then that's when their picks – like next year, they got a bunch of picks. So then the cycle starts again. That's kind of what they're doing. So the macro is, you know, you can't sign everybody. Let's go to next year. And then the other thing I was going to tell you that I thought was actually cool that a lot of people aren't thinking of, again, macro.
Yeah.
They got Austin Jackson on a multi-year deal. If you look at how athletic he is, the guys that are going to be available around 21, they're probably more right tackles. So what you end up doing is playing him a guard early, moving him to right tackle. And guess who goes to left tackle? Austin Jackson on a right tackle salary. So to me, that's, I think, their macro outlook of what it's, but you know, the fan panics and thinks, oh, it's a cap crisis. And no, dude, it's just, there are tough decisions that you have to make and players you have to let go. And then the other thing is Jordan Brooks, better than the linebacker you let go. Fuller, better than the older corner you let go. And in the, and in the draft, you got to try to replace Wilkins. That's going to be the trick.
Yeah, this, you know, this situation where there's a lot of, you know, you load up for a couple of years, then you're going to have to take your medicine 1 year. That's, the Bucs did that last year, and they've remained competitive. So that's kind of how it goes. It's pretty clear they're going to pay the quarterback, and everything works around there. Which, however you feel about him, you know, he won 11 games and stayed healthy through 4,600 yards. That gets you paid. So you're going to have to pay him $50 million a year, whatever it is. That's just the market now, and they got to work around that. And it seems like they're willing to do that. So you make concessions. You know, the Austin Jackson signing is interesting because I think they decided early on months ago that like we're not going to be able to sign Robert Hunt. Like it's just the money's going to be too obscene. So they went with Jackson, the more affordable option. So they've been getting ahead of things pretty good. And, you know, I think they did a pretty good job, all things considered, in March and April.
Are you a Tua guy? Are you a believer? I'm a believer. To me, I laugh at Dolphin fans. It's like, dude, since Marino left, when have you had a quarterback in the MVP conversation the last 2 years? Are you kidding me? He figured out how to stay healthy last year. Get rid of the damn ball. All his injuries were between 3.85 and 5.1 seconds. Don't hold on to the ball. You'll die in this league. Get rid of it. He got rid of it. He lived the entire season fine. I don't get the – I get he's not perfect yet, but he's good, bro.
He's a very good quarterback. So if that's – I don't know if I'm a Tua guy per se where he's a top five quarterback in the league. I don't really believe that.
Do you believe he's a franchise? Can you win a Super Bowl?
He's close, and he is a franchise quarterback. Yeah, I just – if you accept his limitations, then you can appreciate his strengths. He's got a lot of strengths, you know, like the fact that he – you know, he's accurate. He gets rid of the ball. He's got great touch on the ball, you know. He's probably more mobile than people think. You know, things like that can really pay off. You know, don't love the playoff game, you know, in the cold where you need like a marquee guy – big, strong guy who can get it done. He didn't quite get it done. But that's just one game, and he's made progress, and maybe he can do that next year, you know, and get over the hump that way. Certainly you can win with him, no doubt, and you have to pay him.
Jeremy, before we wrap it up here, Jared Verse, I freaking love him, dude.
Yeah.
There's no chance he lasts the 21, right?
I think there's a chance of that. I would predict he goes top 20, but – He's an acquired taste, I would say. A team has to love him, and he's, you know, very good player, but he's more – some teams look at him more as an inside guy a little bit. So if you don't want that and you want a true pass rusher, then maybe you pass on him, you know. So I think the range I have for him is probably right above Miami, you know, somewhere in that top 20, but you never know. Yeah, I think Chubb Robinson could be there too. Like one of those four guys will be there. You know, that's the thing. There should be there. That's a good thing for Miami.
A lot of people I talk to love Chop Robinson, man. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those. They think like he hasn't even hit his upside. It's one of those things that they talk about with Chop. Is that what you're hearing too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's apparently he's really high character. Yeah, he's got the great athleticism. If you're making an upside play, he's certainly up there. And, you know, he gets mocked to the Bucks a lot at 26. I don't know that the Bucks know for sure whether he's going to be there at 26 or not.
So let me tell you, in the second round, I love one more thing before I let you go. Okohu-Rohu, whatever, from Clemson. Yeah. What have you heard from him? Because if they get the offensive lineman in the first round, that's the guy that I want to replace Christian Wilkins, because I think that guy is a monster in the making. Like he is scratching the surface.
Yeah. I mean, it'd certainly be a good day two option. I don't know his exact scouting report as far as where he's going or what teams are heavy on him, to be honest. But that makes sense. They got to fill that spot. That's one, going back to the free agency, that's one I do think they should have handled a little better. The franchise tag wouldn't have been that bad, you know. But looking now, they had to scale back a lot of money, but I feel like they should have worked that out. That's just me.
This one happened last year, not this year.
Yeah.
Last year, they decided they weren't paying him.
They
don't look at him as a real pass rusher. And in the end, that's what he's going to pay. He's going to pay pass rushers. Go look at his 9 sacks. Most of them are against bad teams. And he got them in multiple games against bad teams. It was kind of like the perfect storm for him last year. So crazy stuff. All right, what do you got going on this week? Where are you going, bro?
You're just locked and loaded. Yeah, we'll be here in Connecticut following the draft and –
okay.
Doing some studio stuff and just reporting on things as we go. So it should be fun.
All right. Good stuff, man. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @JFowlerESPN. Jeremy, thank you for taking time on a busy, busy week, my brother. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks, Big O. Appreciate it, man.
Baby, be good. There you go. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. Good dude, man. I've known him for a long, long time before he was at ESPN. Was it CBS, I want to say? I want to say it was at CBS.